Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
become my salvation.
Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power.
Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy.
You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed.
You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode.
You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain.
The place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode.
The sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established.
The Lord will reign forever and ever.
Celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Resurrection of our Lord is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord. From the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 15th chapter. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. From our gospel reading, the women went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is our text. It may not be the way that people expect the gospel reading on Easter Sunday to end, with the words, "they were afraid." The women who were first to the tomb on that Easter morning had many reasons to be afraid. The events of Good Friday were still fresh in their minds. The unjust trial of their friend, their master, their Jesus. The mock trials, false accusations, and wrongful condemnation. The shame, humiliation, and mockery. The brutality of the cross, naked and exposed to human depravity and to the elements. And then finally, his death. That would make me afraid. And the women had watched it all happen. They were there when they crucified our Lord. They were there when he breathed his last. They were there when his body was taken down from the cross. They held his bloody, his mangled, his lifeless corpse in their hands. They gently wrapped him in linen cloths. They helped lay him in the tomb. The whole thing was traumatic for these women. And all of that might have made them afraid. But what we find in our reading today is that what frightened them most was not what happened on Friday, but what happened on Sunday morning. It was what they found or didn't find when they went to the tomb. Early on Sunday morning, on the first day of the week, they bought spices and they went to anoint our Lord's body. One more act of devotion and love. The final way they had to care for their Lord. Of course they were sad, but heading to the tomb, they were not afraid. You might think of it this way. Death didn't make those women afraid. Not really. Cemeteries didn't make those women afraid, because that was normal. It was way too normal. These things were familiar to them as they are familiar to us. Way too familiar. They had been there many times before. In an age when the average lifespan was probably not higher than 40, maybe even earlier, they had watched loved ones die. And they had laid loved ones in the tomb. This wasn't the first time they'd gone. Had they gone to the tomb, had they found the body, had they done what they'd come to do, we would never have heard about it. It never would have said they were afraid. And we wouldn't be here today. Because they weren't afraid of finding his body. That's exactly what they expected. So what made them afraid? For one thing, the stone, the great big stone in front of the tomb, had been rolled away. That was surprising. On their way to the tomb, they'd been trying to figure out, how are we going to move this thing? They didn't expect that. And when they entered the tomb, expecting to see the body of Jesus laying there, they saw a young man sitting, dressed in a white robe. This alarmed them. And then he spoke. "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He isn't here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And that's when they fled from the tomb. That's when they left, trembling and astonished and frightened. Because that was the very last thing they expected. They had come expecting death, but it wasn't there. They had come looking for a body, but it was gone. And I'll tell you, that would scare me as well. So unexpected. So different than normal. If I were to go to the cemetery of a loved one, I would expect to find that grave intact and the body still there. But if it's not, then who knows what will happen next? Suddenly everything has been turned upside down. You know how it is. When things are like normal, even if it's bad normal, we know what to expect. But when things are different, even a good different, it scares us. It frightens us. When things are not in their usual places where we expect them to be, what was so certain and so sure for these women that dead bodies stay dead was no longer certain and sure. Who knew what would happen next? I feel like I can relate to these women a little bit. Like them, we know that the tomb is empty. We've heard what the angel said, but we haven't yet seen the risen Lord, not with our own eyes. But others have, and they are witnesses to his resurrection. Those women who went to the tomb and went away afraid, they did not remain afraid forever. They saw Jesus risen from the dead. They would see him not in the grave, not dead, but alive, victor over death and hell. And St. Paul tells us of so many others. Simon Peter saw the Lord risen from the dead. The 12 apostles saw the Lord risen from the dead multiple times. More than 500 people saw Jesus risen from the dead at once. And James, and last of all, as St. Paul says, as one untimely born, Jesus appeared to Paul himself. We haven't seen Jesus yet with our own eyes risen from the dead, but they have. And they are witnesses of his resurrection. And we can be confident that we will see him too, even though we haven't seen him yet. First, the empty tomb, and then the risen Lord. Christ has been raised from the dead, and death is vanquished. Christ has been raised from the dead, and the wages of sin are paid. Christ has been raised from the dead, and death has been swallowed up. The grave took a body and discovered God. And here's who should be afraid now: your sin, death, and the devil. They have everything to fear because their power is broken, their reign of terror is finished. Dying, Christ died to sin once for all, and living, he lives to God. Each one of you who is baptized into Christ, you are baptized into his death. You are baptized into his resurrection. Each one of you who are baptized into Christ, you have died with Christ and risen with him to a life that never ends. You have conquered death through his death. Jesus doesn't serve death anymore. Death can no longer hold him, but death serves Christ. Even the death of Christians is not the victory of death, but it is the victory of our Lord. From now on, death serves him, and those who die in Christ do not belong to death. They belong to Christ. And so today, we rejoice that Christ has cast out all fear. We rejoice today that Christ has banished the fear of death. We rejoice that Christ has overcome the fear of sin. We rejoice that Christ has conquered the fear of the devil. He is the victor. He lives. He is risen, never to die again. Your master is alive. And now come, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Come and receive the benefits of his death and his resurrection for you. Come now and receive his body broken in death for you. Come now and receive his blood poured out for you. Come eat and drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Come eat and drink the body and blood of the crucified and the risen Lord. And be not afraid. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Of your Son, that we would tremble no longer before the grave, but rejoice and live in the truth of your power to save. Lord, in your mercy. Be with our Synod President, our District President, our Pastor and Vicar and all pastors. Keep them faithful to deliver to your people the good news of your Son's death, burial, and resurrection as handed down by the Apostles. Lord, in your mercy. Let us hold fast to the word preached to us, that receiving it with joy, we may take our stand in it and be saved by it. Hinder all who would sow doubt into our hearts, and grant us courage to confess its truth in our life and conversation. Be with all the baptized, especially with Patrick and Laura's son, Samuel Elliott, that we may abide in your grace unto the end. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our president and all who make and administer our laws. Frustrate the forces of evil and do not let our leaders cooperate with them or further their goals. Guard our armed forces as they stand watch for us at home and abroad, especially Gary Palmer, who is soon to be deployed. Let all who serve do so with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Have mercy on the sick and those in any need, especially Agatha's son, David, and all who are hospitalized with the virus, as well as Nancy Kengis, Danielle Weber, Diane Albert, Marilyn Arsenault, Ann Blaze, Jared Blaze, Bobby Ewing, Rosemary Jackson, Kertu Maki, Rick and Pat Silvestro, Michelle Studlian, and Judy Ward. Let the dawning light of the new creation in Christ sustain them in faith. In accord with your will, grant them renewed health, a foretaste of their eternal healing in him. Lord, in your mercy. Give us joy in your Son's great victory feast as he shares it with us from this altar, in the eating of his true body and the drinking of his precious blood in faith. Overcome our sin by his forgiveness and swallow up our death in his life, that we may be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort those who mourn with the truth of Christ's empty tomb, that in their grief they may abide in the hope of his resurrection. Uphold them in faith as they await the day when you will wipe every tear from their faces. Lord, in your mercy. We join today in singing eternal alleluias with innumerable angels in festal gathering, with the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and with the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And we bring these petitions before you, dear Father, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Upon you and give you peace.